You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
As always, we kick off the show with how the markets have been performing throughout the day, the segment where we get to chat to some of our market watchers, some industry traders, some portfolio managers, and a gentleman by the name of Gary Boyson joins me now. He's a portfolio manager and director at Rand Swiss, and we're going to be taking a look at what's been happening throughout the day. Good evening, Gary. Lovely to speak to you again. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with local things around RCL and Rainbow, or just the drama that NVIDIA is at the moment?
So it's not local.
Okay.
So you say drama, but it's not too much drama, I suppose, from the NVIDIA side. It's a very healthy correction, I think. Stock down about 5% in the US, but we'll come back to that later in the show. For the local investors, looking good. JSE All Share Index up around 0.6%. Top 40 up almost 1%. Really driven by the resource index, that lifting 2.5%. Driven by our platinum miners. So the likes of Northam and Amplats, both up almost 5%. Also a huge run in British American Tobacco after the announcement of a share buyback. And the only thing sort of suffering a little bit was the financials and the insurers. So we had the likes of maybe the retailers a little bit as well. So First Rand down just almost 3%. The likes of Sanlam also down almost 2%. And that, I think, is just a breather. So the overall financial index down 0.7%, but that's often an incredible run with all the pomp and ceremony that we've had around the optimism that we've had around the government of national unity. So a little bit of a breather, I think it can be forgiven for today.
I was just going to say, Gary, it doesn't look unexpected considering that when we had the optimism around the GNU, financial stocks were the ones that ran ahead of all the other stocks. So it's only natural that when we have a bit of a delay in that cabinet announcement and there's a bit of nervousness around that financial stocks are going to be the ones feeling the pinch. Alongside that, the Rand obviously feeling the pinch as well, back above 18 Rand, back above 18.10, in fact, where when the optimism was at its peak, we were sort of below 18 Rand. So that's clearly still a factor weighing on everyone's minds. Are we thinking that this cabinet announcement, when it does eventually come out, will shift the markets again the way it did the first time, or the way the GNU announcement did?
Yeah, I think it will. And, the devil's in the details. So, whenever you have the actual announcement come through, that's when you're going to, and that is solidified, you'll see some of the risk premium coming out. And you do get the sense that the local market is maybe a little bit skittish about what the final appointments are going to be. And as you said, I mean, from kind of 17, or at least 1790 out to around 1814 at the moment. So a little bit of weakness, but what do they say? Nothing goes up and down in a straight line. And this is markets. We've got to expect volatility.
We have to expect volatility. Other things that we have to expect this week, big week for RCL and the Rainbow family, that unbundling finally taking place on the 26th of June, if I remember correctly, was the date that was initially put out in the previous SENS statement. Are we ready for that? Are markets ready for that? it's a good thing, I think, right, to see more things listed on the JSE rather than less things.
Yeah, it's a great thing to see more things listed on the JSE. It gives us more choice as local investors. The unbundling is actually going to happen on the 1st of July, but the listing will happen on the 26th of June. So that'll be Wednesday's the listing. So that's when they're going to go downstairs at the JSE. They're going to get the kudu horn, and we're going to see the executive blowing that, and there'll be a big fanfare, and the stock will start trading for the first time. Investors that are holding RCL, remember tomorrow is the X date. So the 25th will be the last day you can buy RCL stock and still expect to receive your Rainbow stock in your portfolio when it unbundles on the 1st. That unbundling is going to be 1-to-1. So for every RCL share that you hold, you'll get one Rainbow share. Now, lots of fun and games at the exchange around it. And definitely, I think it's going to be interesting because they also dropped a trading statement today that looked absolutely spectacular. RCL Foods just reporting a 75% increase in their headline earnings and saying that was largely driven by Rainbow and their grocery business. Now we know Rainbow chickens, it's a very cyclical industry. So, when you have maize prices coming down, maize prices form a lot of the cost of producing a chicken. And that, as maize prices subside, that just tends to move, into profit, dramatically. Also has a lot to do with, whatever tariffs are in place at that stage. So it tends to be a very cyclical business. When things are good, they're very, very good. When they're bad, they're very bad. And I think it's one of the reasons reasons that RCL is looking to unbundle this and let it trade independently. It does appeal to a slightly different audience from the type of audience that is looking for a slightly more stable business in what RCL is going to keep, which is their groceries, the likes of Omar Rusk and their pet food business through Bobtail, etc. So, yeah, I think a big week for them, and hopefully we'll have another successful listing, because obviously we've just come off the back of the very high profile WeBuyCars listing, which I was having a look at today. WeBuyCars is doing pretty well, up to around 27 Rand a share at the moment. So those that got in on the IPO are definitely looking good. And maybe we'll see some more profits for early investors when we see Rainbow coming to market on Wednesday.
That's definitely going to be an interesting thing to watch. And I was going to get into the RCL side of it and ask you around the fact that what's left within the RCL stable afterwards in terms of whether or not this unbundling will affect the share price. But as you mentioned, obviously K9 Cuisines in there, Nola in there, Monate in there, Omar Rusk, Smareu, a lot of well-known South African brands still make up the RCL family, Salati Sugar as an example, and that's clearly not going to go anywhere. So the business itself is just unlocking more value for shareholders. Speaking of value for shareholders, PPC declared a dividend. I thought the construction space was suffering.
I think the construction space is suffering, but no matter how difficult the economy is, if you have a good management team in place that can cut costs, a business the size of PPC's can still be an attractive option for shareholders. And I think that's what we're seeing here. So not a big re-rating in the share price. So the share price was actually down 0.27%, but it did drop a trading statement on the 12th of June. And we've seen a 15% run up in its shares since then. So a lot of the announcement, I think the excitement around the move was actually captured in that trading statement. But what is PPC doing? I mean, it's the first time that they've declared a dividend in a long time. We're talking almost a decade. Headline earnings per share at 19 cents. This is from a 20 cent loss in the last period. Revenue up 20% to around 10 billion. So you can see the metrics are starting to come through for the business. And the new management under Matthias Cardinelli is really, they're taking an axe to absolutely everything. And they're saying that we're going to turn this business around. And really, they are not going to spend on anything that does not involve producing or selling cement. And that is exactly, as a shareholder, what you want to hear from a management team. You know, gone are the boardroom shenanigans, and in here are technocrats that can turn the business around. So let's hope it continues, and let's hope that we see a much better prospect in PPC for shareholders going forward.
I suppose a part of that also hinges on the fact that we want to see government spending on infrastructure programs, because that obviously means the construction space can pick up, the PPC as the supplier of the construction space or within that space can actually make some money there as well. Gary, British American Tobacco, there was a share repurchase program that they announced, and obviously there's two SENS announcements that came out today from that perspective. Anything we need to be aware of there? Anything concerning, anything interesting there? Obviously, share buybacks are always a good thing to unlock some value for shareholders, but sometimes you never know why companies do these things.
Yeah, well, maybe a little bit of the move in British American Tobacco today was the slightly weaker currency, as we said at the top of the show. You know, currency just moving out a little bit, but you know, 3.77% up on the day, and you've got to read into that people are enjoying the share buyback program. So, not a lot of detail on what the actual quantum of the share buyback is going to be in the announcement. They're about to go into a closed period, but they've already said that they're looking at buying back around £700 million worth of shares in 2024 and another £900 million in 2025. So the share back buybacks and rewarding shareholders is definitely core to what British American Tobacco is trying to achieve. Now, if you look at 700 million, you look at the current market cap, they're buying back about 1.5% of their shares. Now, of course, they're going to cancel those shares, so that's going to kind of juice the earnings a little bit, same amount of earnings just divided by less shareholders. It's almost like a dividend. It's a different way of returning capital to a shareholder. If you consider, this year you're expecting about 1.5% of the shares to be bought back. But at the same time, you consider that the British American Tobacco is trading on a historic dividend yield of almost 10%. This starts to look like a very, very attractive option as well for shareholders. So we're obviously going to wait for their results, which will be out, I think it's the 24th of July that they'll be reporting. But yeah, we know that there's risks to this kind of business, health issues, regulation, you know, and from a technological point of view, things are changing as well. But, you know, they're entrenched in the NGP market as well. They've got the, you know, their VOOs, their vaping, they've got these Velo pouches now. So really looking at different ways of delivering nicotine to their customers. And it is an addictive product. So if you are looking for something a little bit more stable in maybe a falling interest rate environment where suddenly bond yields are maybe going to be a little bit more difficult to find, a nice, very stable multinational with a good rand hedge component, I think British American Tobacco is something interesting probably to look at.
Something that isn't stable, Gary, as we wrap this up, NVIDIA. Share price has run. I mean, I'm looking at May of 2023. We were at what is now $27 at the time would have been $270 before the stock split, running all the way to north of $1,200, doing massive returns, 600% in a year, unheard of. Well, not really unheard of, but I suppose in recent times unheard of. And now finally, for the last couple of days, the share price has been down. It's still up for the month by 7%, despite being down 4.5% for today. Where's the stock going? What's happening here?
Oh, that's the impossible question.
So, that's why I leave it to you to answer.
So, yeah, when yeah, what do they say? See bubble, buy bubble. So there's a massive amount of momentum behind the stock price at the moment. But I think one thing that people need to consider is that if you look at it often gets compared to something like Cisco in the dot-com era. And Cisco, obviously, you know, you had this big run up in the share price, and you know, at the essentially the birth of the internet, they were the hardware supplier of what was going to be the internet. They weren't maybe the final winner, because that kind of ended up in, so you know, in the social media businesses seemed to be the biggest beneficiary if you had to bet on the internet, the rollout of the internet. But of course, NVIDIA is equivalent the infrastructure behind artificial intelligence. And I think that the key difference between NVIDIA and Cisco is that Cisco's share price ran a long way ahead of its earnings, and it got to very, very exaggerated multiples. That doesn't seem to be the case with NVIDIA. What's happening is it's not just that the share price is running up. We're also seeing that those earnings moving up just as aggressively. And if you look at it in kind of multiple terms, this is still not that expensive, which is crazy for me to say, because it feels like it should be expensive given the move that we've seen in the stock price. But the fact remains that if you had to take away the whole hype around AI, you had to take away what their product was, and you just had to look at their revenue numbers, and let's imagine they were just selling widgets, and you had to look at this company and look at the speed at which they're managing to grow, we would probably still have to put a buy rating on it. So even with the correction that we've seen over the last couple of days, I think things can easily get volatile. You know, it's a very popular stock. It's I think it will be right at the forefront of any trading desk, you know, as sentiment swings as well. So you can expect, again, a little bit of volatility around it. But longer term, I still don't think that you're buying this at a terrible price, which is difficult for me to say, but it is what we think.
All-time highs, and it's still a very, very valuable stock. We'll leave it at that, Gary. Thanks so much for the insights. Gary Boyson, Portfolio Manager and Director at Rand Swiss, joining me to reflect on some of the market movements today, as well as what we can expect this week.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app, and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.